Okay, here we go. This message was several months old, a couple months anyway. But I keep wanting to bring it, so I'm going to bring it tonight. And I'm calling it A Peculiar People, and it takes a little while for my teeth to work. But eventually they will. I'd like to make a couple of comments. One of them is, woe to the people. What did I see the other title of this message?
No, I haven't told you what the
name is. A Peculiar People. A Peculiar People.
Date?
Today is, I don't know what it is.
July
15th. July 15th. And in the evening. Okay, A Peculiar People. Two comments that I want to make. One of them is, woe to the ones who look for the scriptures that support their doctrine. And I did that for years. I looked for any scriptures that supported what we taught as a church. And I was amazed and blessed whenever a prophet would get up and prophesy that the things that we taught were on the Monday, it was there from God. You know what? After a while, I realized they weren't, but at the time I was. And then on the other hand, blessed are those who study the scriptures and then find scriptures that they finally are able to build their doctrine on. Did I get that out? This morning early, I happened to run into a word, and I don't know if I heard it in my sleep or if I just thought of the verse or whatever. I thought there was more to it than this, but it says, "And they that gladly received his word." Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost and preached, and a holy anointed message, and in the second chapter of Acts. And one of the statements he made is about the baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. And I would like to comment that we have no scriptures that support anything else. Matthew 28:19, there are no scriptures that support it anywhere. As a matter of fact, it says to be baptized in a name that is never used. While as in Acts, the second chapter, verse 38, I believe, he tells them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And the one that wrote the book of Matthew was one of those that stood at his side as he preached all of this. And we have no verification or no support anywhere in the scriptures for the Trinity. But for this scripture, we have a lot of support. As a matter of fact, in the sixth chapter of Romans, one of those chapters, one of those places, where it talks about being baptized into the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. If there isn't any evidence of the baptism into a man, it's certainly in that scripture setting. And so anyway, they that gladly received his word, gladly received his word. And then in verse 47, verse 36, I guess, it says, with the gladness and the singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved, which has puzzled me and still does, because of his ability to foreknow, you know, his foreknowledge. Apparently he knows who's going to be saved and who isn't. So as such as should be saved, apparently that goes with foreknowledge. I mean, that would be my guess. But I don't want to just guess. I'd like more evidence than that. A peculiar people. In the dictionary, the word peculiar means different than the rest, queer, odd, strange, not part of the regular group, sort of like the word that I used a couple of months ago. I called the church that existed here as weird. You remember that? Weird. You guys are getting weird. And in though we are told that many are called, but only a few are chosen, or that only there be a few that find it, most churchgoers consider themselves to be a part of that elite group. Whatever it is, most churchgoers consider themselves to be a part of that group, and I certainly did myself. And the reason is, after hearing the same things taught to them over and over, right or wrong, but a lot of it wrong, men become inwardly convinced that they are that these things are of the truth. I became that way in a lot of different settings. And so, being inwardly convinced that they are of the truth, lots of churchgoers work hard so as to convince themselves and others that they are fully saved. They're of the truth and fully saved. The problem, it is not those who say they are saved that are actually saved, but rather those that God places His seal of approval upon. Those are the ones that are saved. See, the working out your own salvation with fear and trembling, and if the righteous scarcely be saved, are not part of the privately interpreted selection of scriptures that most men or churchgoers go by. That's not in their private selection. For years, I worked in my private selection until, and I, of course, I mentioned that, for years, I studied through the commentaries and trying to find support for what we believed as a church. Until the statement by Jesus and the devil in Matthew 4:4 became a vital truth to me. Man shall live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That has had an indelible impact on me, and I'll never work past it, I don't believe, which has been the downfall of millions by not obeying or going by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And not by only the words that self-designated leaders or men themselves felt the most comfortable with, that the devil made them feel more comfortable with. See, the most peculiar man that ever lived was the only begotten Son of God. Was he peculiar?
Yes, he was.
Was he odd? Queer? He was a one of a kind. He did what no other man had ever done. He totally pleased the God who created all things, and as such, fulfilled the law that God... You know what? I don't know of any other man at any other time that God ever said, I am well pleased. Do you know of any scripture where God ever said that? He said it a couple of times for His only begotten Son. And as such, fulfilled the law that God set up that no man has ever been able to live by. Now, somebody made a statement, I think it was Ken this morning, and at the time, I was going to say something and about it, about that God had provided the seed. And ultimately, God provided the seed through Eve. However, it was the seed of Eve that God fertilized, which made him man as much as God, the Son of Man, the Son of God.
Of Mary.
What did I say?
It's an Eve. Which
I'm only off by a couple thousand years. But it was the seed of Mary that he fertilized. And so that made him of the seed of Abraham, or of the seed of man. And as well as of the... But of course, God created the seed in the first place. You know, so it's a strange picture here. And as such, he fulfilled the law. And of course, that pleased the Creator. The only way that men can please the Creator, the Father, is when they draw so close to Christ so that Christ is able to live their life for them. Is that what he says? Christ in you, the hope of glory. And I began to understand in the 16th chapter of Mark, the last verse of Mark, where it says that the Lord, and we're talking about Christ, working with them, confirming the word with signs following. As the branches get their total life substance through the vine, it must be Christ in us, the hope of glory. That truth comes from John 15:5. However, in verse 7, it continues to say, if men abide in him, branch to the vine, his words abide in us, then men can ask what they will, and it shall be done. You know, we haven't reached that position yet. There's a faith element, a substance in here that is so far, you know, into the realm of the Spirit. I don't think any of us have reached it yet. But you know what? Potentially we have. I can see the potential for it. Not very many people have ever proven is that scripture setting, because not many people have ever done it. And the reason being is that ignorant church leaders have never understood and therefore have never been taught or preached it. And of course, how can men teach or promote something that their main doctrine eliminates? How do you preach it when your main doctrine eliminates it? See, the Godhead doctrine is the biggest and most vital, I think, of all doctrines. I may be wrong, but I think it's the most vital of all of the doctrines. As such, what men are taught and therefore believe today removes the inherited will for the sons of God. The intended will, what did I say? Removes the intended will for the Son of God, and therefore handicaps all of those who would be and become Christ's disciples. See, God brought forth a man, and as God's entire word supports that, and yet the devil, the great deceiver, has discovered several subtle ways to make the man Christ Jesus into a God figure within the minds and the hearts of millions. And see, that's the big problem. I thought, what is the problem? What's the difficulty here? What's the main big problem with the Trinity? The problem is, and I mentioned it today in passing, in a short thing, about the fact that when I went to the several denominational churches that I have been a part of, we had a piece of paper in front of us, and we spent about 10 to 15 minutes reciting a creed. Well, I believe in this, and I believe in that, and I believe in this, and we believe in that, and we believe in that, and we believe. And so here I am. Okay. So I'm repeating that creed without even realizing what I'm doing. But I am saying it over and over and over and over. And so we think, oh, what does that do? It eventually causes us to believe the words that are in those creeds. So when you think of the Trinity, what's the danger? The Bible says that Christ came in the flesh, and that he was born of a virgin, and all of these things. The problem is, if you take the scriptures that say that he was as God the Son, he was a co-equal, co-eternal, co-existent, co-whatever it is, and you say those things enough, after a while, you have a problem. He either was a man or he was not a man. And according to the Trinity doctrine, there was no possible way he could have ever been a man. Which therefore causes mass confusion within the hearts and the minds of the hearers, since without what they hear within the scriptures, those that are read by church leaders is interpreted to fit the church theology of whichever church that men go into. See, as those who are converted over to the mindsets of children, all as those who are converted over to the mindsets of little children, we are all to be hearers and doers rather than doers of church doctrines. However, men are taught to be hearers and interpreters, or here is what God's word says, but this is what God means. And as such, most avid church goers have very little respect for God's word. And whether for whatever reason, it's immaterial, because very little respect. And see, according to John 17:3, eternal life hinges upon whether men actually know the only true God. And the 1 Timothy 2:5, man Christ Jesus, as it says in Timothy. And yet, those in the leadership of most Trinity churches know that the Trinity is not found within the Scriptures, and there's very, very few of the Trinitarian leaders that don't know that. They know that it's not found in the Scriptures, and since the Godhead is a focal point within all churches, then what do the Trinitarians actually do with the Bible? What do they do with it? And that's been my question. Well, Jesus told us that men are to live by every word, and I'm guessing he meant the Bible. However, men have ignored the Holy Spirit of God and have come up with whatever their spirits, their own spirits of revelation, and blamed the Holy Spirit for their mixed up theories. And as a matter of fact, Jude in verse 19 labeled today's separated church structure. Now, you got to do some fancy footwork to come up with that, but that's what he's talking about today's church as much as any other church. He said these are those who separate themselves. Is that not what we have, is separated church structures? And so he said, he labeled them as those who go by their human senses. They ignore the Holy Spirit. God said, we desperately need the Holy Spirit so as to guide us into all truth. Then we desperately need the Holy Spirit to guide us into truth, as he said. Plus, it won't happen any other way than what God said. When we look at Amos 8 in verse 12, it says, God won't let it happen the way we want it. We work to do it our way, God won't let it happen. And so when men start places of higher education, oh, here's where I step on the toes. When men start places of higher education so as to use their intelligence, their wisdom, and their prudence to discover the deep things of God, they ignore the fact that unless it is done exactly the way that God has set it up. Are you following me? 1 Corinthians 2:11 through 13. They spend a wasted lifetime and not end up as spiritual idiots. That should go over big today. I got thinking about, we had people here that were baptized years ago, that were baptized in Jesus' name, and even though we may not have had all of the understanding, they were doing it the right way. That's what it says. That's a scriptural process. And so they went to a Trinitarian Bible college, and after a time, they became convinced that the Trinity was right and that they need to be baptized in the formula found in Matthew 28:19. And it's like they backtracked. And even worse, if possible, in 1 Corinthians 1:21, they even try to glory in their own greatness and in God's presence. And as such, the approval of men, they seek that more than the approval that comes from God. See, God's ways are past finding out, with the exception of those things about him that he does want us to find out. And there are things God wants us to know, because he tells us in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, you know, that he wants us to know certain things. And so in John 1:18, it tells us that no man at any time has ever seen God. However, the only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of God, he has declared him. It has become obvious to me that even though God's ways are past finding out, there are things that God wants us to know, or the Son would never declare those things. I mean, God must have somebody in mind who will be able to receive the whole Son's declarations. If the Son of God declares these things, God must have somebody in mind that are going to receive the declarations. Do you follow me? And so we can only know what God wants us to know. And I say, Lord, I know I can't understand all of this, but I can understand what you want me to know. And so I want to receive what you want me to know. What is it? The point is, there are things that God wants us to know, and only those things And we had better be more than willing to receive whatever it is that God has in mind. See, Jesus was trying to update the Jews out on the true nature of God. However, this is in the first chapter of John. However, the leadership, almost without exception, the Jewish leadership, refused to receive what God was saying to them through Christ. And so, however, see, if they would have understood Moses, they would have listened to Christ. Somebody read a scripture this morning. I didn't pick it up, and I don't remember where it was at. But it said, Lord, we know that you speak the truth, and you tell the truth. And you, who was it that was reading that scripture setting?
Him.
You remember where it was?
I read one in Psalms.
Well, you were talking about there were all these people that were acknowledging that.
We know that Nicodemus, who was a ruler of the Jews, when he came to Jesus by night, and he said, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no man can do the things that you do except God is with him. But there was another place that I heard read, and I know it was out of the scriptures because I heard you reading it.
Yeah. I think it was where they asked him, what, do we pay tribute to Caesar?
Because you don't reverence men, but you reverence God.
Men.
Yeah. And I thought, who are those guys?
I read Mark 16.
No, I wouldn't have been there.
At the end,
They refused to receive what Christ had to say. However, here's what God said. To those who do receive what God says through Christ, those shall receive the power to become the true sons of the living God. See, the Holy Spirit uses the truth nature of the Word of God to defeat the devil and to do the real work of God, while the devil uses the letter of the Word. He uses the letter to destroy men, and on the the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. And so when men study God's Word with a natural mind, they will come up with false doctrines, which accounts for most of the doctrines that we have in the churches today. See, we are told that many are called, but only a few are chosen. I've said that about three times in this message so far. That only a few there be that find it. Well, unfortunately, most people prefer to do things their own way. And so they ignore things that make no sense to their natural minds. The natural man receives not the things of God. I mean, that's what it says. So because he sees them as foolishness. And so when Jesus told us in John 16:13 that when the Holy Spirit is come, he will guide you into all truth. Now the word guide is a strange word to be used. It doesn't say he will lead. It says he will guide you. He will guide you into all truth. And so in fact, he never gave us an option, but rather truth can only be acquired by the Holy Spirit. And so when men come up with their natural ways so as to locate the truth, it won't happen. It won't happen by the natural man. So we read in Romans 3:4, let God be true, though every man a liar. And, you know, people don't like to hear that either. And that we must be sanctified by God's truth in order to become godlike or Christlike or either one. See, the devil is a liar and a deceiver, and he knows the power of God's truth and the true value that God places upon it. And so the devil thrives on impatient people, on those who want to do things their own way, and then he reasons with them and tries to take away the value of truth from them, so until men come up with things like unity through diversity. How'd they ever come up with that? At first, I was amused at the whole concept. And then I began to see it as it really is. Upright rebellion against God. That's what unity through diversity is. It's rebellion. So rather than that, than going by the eternal word of God, men want to hang on to their private interpretations so bad so that they will accept other false doctrines as long as no one tries to make them let go of theirs. Okay? This is not something really new. Church and church organizations post what they believe within church entryways so that people are able to decide if that is where they want to fellowship or not. And that is why I said before that most churches are clubs. They're social clubs where those who have been convinced of certain doctrines get together and do whatever it is that they do. And been there, done that. Really familiar with it. And today we are overrun with a form of godliness churches where they advertise praise and worship and Bible studies and should be charged with false advertising. Is there any way we could do that? As Jesus told the Samaritan woman, you worship you know not what. Men today worship a god or gods that are totally foreign to the scriptures. And Bible studies today are where men try to prove and convince others that whatever it is that they believe is the truth. I'd like to say, been there, done that. I spent a lot of time on this search for truth flip chart and taught from it and believed it to be the truth. The whole truth, so help me God, the full truth. And as I look at it now, I think, oh my word. And so we are overrun with form of godliness churches. Jesus told the Samaritan woman, you know, you worship, you know not what. I guess I said that. The whole tenor of the New Testament is to be converted over to a childlike approach to the kingdom of God, and for of such is the kingdom of God. That is the kingdom, the little children, and to fully believe the Bible is the word of God. You know what? That is a major issue. Somebody brought it up today. It is an issue. That is going to be an issue. And I'm not sure who it was, but I thank God that you guys are starting to get it. And thank God that I'm starting to get it. The fact that the Bible is God's Word. And it has convinced me that it is God's Word. It has had a convincing effect on me so that by faith I understand it is God's Word. By faith I understand that the heavens and everything that is created was created by the power that is in that Word. And so, they are to believe that the Bible is God's Word. And then as such, just hear it and then do it. Because that's what true Christianity is. My mother and my brethren are these who hear the Word of God and do it. Just do it. As a matter of fact, in Matthew 7:24, Jesus told us why he denied knowing the Matthew 7:22, do it yourselfers. In verse 24, he said, therefore, if and when men hear and do God's word, they build their lives on the solid cornerstone, which is Christ. That's not what it says there, but that's what I put in. Or the stone that unbelievers rejected. But isn't that it? They build on a solid rock. Isn't Christ a solid rock, the solid stone, cornerstone? Well, anyway, contrary to public church opinion, few there are that actually will be saved to the point that they can be labeled as peculiar people. Peculiar. And I don't know what's happening. We don't want to toot our horns and think that we're something special. But we are getting really strange. really peculiar. And I feel the blessing of God. I feel it on my house. I feel something. It's a wonderful, wonderful feeling. In fact, in that same verse, 1 Peter 2:9, that people are referred to as a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, as well as being a peculiar people, that they should show forth the praises of Him that called them out of darkness into His marvelous light. Isn't that what's happening? We're beginning to come into a light framework, and in that vision that Twyla had, the few people that endured, that allowed the cutting and let the sword really work on them, they ended up setting, and I hate to say it, but they were on this side of the building, Bunny. But anyway, in the vision, and for the most part, that's where most people sat, on that side. They ended up on that side of the building. Greg mentioned that to Charlotte too, and to Tim. And anyway, and they were in a little white room. The white room, of course, encompasses more than just a little this side of the building. But they're in this little white room, and people were looking in at them and watching them and waiting for something to happen. Well, that's kind of, I think, what's where we're at. Into His marvelous light. And that verse is in contrast to verse 8, which said, some stumble at God's word, and therefore were labeled as disobedient, because they stumbled at God's word. Well, you know what? If we weren't in a place where we were listening to God's word, and believing His word, and receiving His word, we would be stumbling too. So the reason people stumble at it is because they're trying to make it fit their church doctrine rather than making their church doctrine fit the scriptures. Do you follow me?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, they were labeled as disobedient. And my question today would be, what percentage actually stumble at God's word? 90%? Or plus that? Or higher than that? See, the Word of God, which was made or became flesh, was a real stumbler. Oh, yes. Jesus Christ was the stone of stumbling and the rock of offense. However, the Word of God that appeared in letter form stumbles the natural men because they are totally at a loss when it comes to the spiritual meaning that God has carefully hidden within it. They stumble because they try to interpret it from a natural standpoint, but God has hidden inside of it spiritual meanings. And so, wise and prudent intellect trusters study the letter and ignore the faith substance, and each one comes up with a different idea, and they trust, as they all, each trust their own logic, and which will probably eventually become the doctrine of a new church. See, Community Chapel was different than other churches. Why was it? What was really different about it? Don Burnett. He was the one that gave us the doctrine of Community Chapel. You know what? What is different about Joel Osteen? What is his church? What is it? What's it all about? The doctrine of Joel Osteen, or Don Basham, or Derek Prince, or some of these other men that have been out there in the field for, you know, quite a few years. Oral Roberts. Each man studied his own thing and came up with his own doctrines, and the reason is because they did not have the faith nature to wait on God to let the Holy Spirit interpret the Scripture for them. And so each one comes up with a different idea, which will probably eventually become the doctrine of a new church. Doctrines like the Trinity are not revelations of the Holy Spirit, since the Holy Spirit would never guide men into anything contrary to the eternal Word of God. So that is not a doctrine of the Holy Spirit. I don't care how much people say that it is. It is not. And so, of course, letter men do not limit themselves to God's word anyway. I had a minister one time that tried to use information found on ancient tombstones so as to prove his theories. And, of course, my wife had to make the statement later. I don't know if she did to him or just to us, but she said, no wonder their doctrines are so dead if they get them off from tombstones.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, Jesus said in John 6:63, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Well, they don't look that way to most readers. They look like natural words to most readers. And so when the Holy Spirit, who knows and understands the heart and the mind of God, reveals them to men, then they become words of eternal life, however. And see, that's what they're becoming to us. I really appreciate the testimonies I hear on Sunday mornings. We heard things this morning. Were they all true? Not a chance. But you know what? They're better than they were. And that's my consolation. It's getting better all the time. It's deeper things in the Spirit, deeper things of the Spirit, and that's what we want. But do we have all truth? Uh-uh. I couldn't handle it if we did. I wouldn't know it if we had it. So when the Holy Spirit When the natural minds of men try to understand the same words that become words of legalism and death, they become words of legalism and death. And why? Because the thoughts and the ways of the eternal Creator, who is Spirit, are carefully hidden within words which appear to be natural to the natural mind. That is a real major hidden mystery to the church. The words that appear to be letter to the natural-minded church reader is actual has hidden a hidden message of the Spirit inside of the words. And so men interpret spiritual thoughts with the natural mind, and they stumble. And finally, they settle for whatever makes the most sense to them. Okay? They finally settle for what makes the most sense. Or, as it says in Jude verse 19, sensual. Well, that makes sense to me. And as such, when the interpreting of God's word is left within the God-given Holy Spirit leadership, then all men will understand the same God-given structure and will all know to speak the same God-ordained truth. However, when the real God-given working of the Holy Spirit is ignored, or the unholy Spirit is allowed to substitute his false input, like in 1 John 4:3, men will buy into things like the Trinity and think it is the truth from God. They will believe it's the truth, and they'll be deceived. And since only few there be that find it, that's what, 4 or 5 times now I've said that, and since many are called, but only a few are chosen, it explains why those who do find it are a peculiar people, a chosen generation of royal priesthood, a holy nation, whose mission, and this is, we got to remember that and repeat it in the church over and over and over, what God has called us to do is to show forth the praises of Him who has called us out of darkness and into His marvelous light. That's what God has called us to do.
Lord, yes.
I know what? I heard that this morning. I felt that this morning. I was blessed this morning in the service. But anyway, the light has to be the light of truth. And for some reason, known only to God maybe, God has emphasized over and over to this small group the value of truth, and it keeps coming up, and God bless you, God bless you. And so natural minds think and say, even though we all think and preach a lot of conflicting things, we will all get together and worship and praise God, and we will be blessed by God. And I'm saying, not a chance. That's a good philosophy and good reasoning, and good logic, but it's not good scripture. The problem is, that is where the Jude 19 central mind comes in, and it makes sense to the natural mind, but is not led by the Holy Spirit. I've been thinking lately, I know there are those who don't like me, and those who don't agree with us, and those who maybe think that we need to repent and do things their way. Well, here's the difference between them and us, especially me. I have no dislikes for anyone. No dislike. I would like to see everybody find a right relationship with God, even enemies, even people that don't like me. Through faith, I'm beginning to discover the awesome. And you know what? That is the truth. That is the truth. I don't have an enemy. There's not anybody I don't like. And this is relatively new. God has caused this. Mm. You know, and the reason is all of a sudden. Well, how does Paul say that? Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. You start knowing what hell is going to be like, even though the Pope doesn't believe there is one. Poor guy. Through faith, I'm beginning to discover the awesomeness of God and His Word that is eternally all-powerful and His will that does not want anyone left out. He wants all men to be saved and to come to repentance. Isn't that what it says? That's what God wants. He wants all men to be saved. Well, some people aren't going to be. But that's their own decision. In 1 Timothy 2:4, God's will is for all men to be saved. It's right up behind me. However, that same will is for all men to come to the knowledge of the truth. You know, those are almost conflicting thoughts. Do you follow me? It's for His will is for all men to be saved. It's also His will for all men to come to the knowledge of the truth, which eliminates a lot of the first group. In verse 5, through Paul, God gives us probably the number one area of truth that exists, and the Father's and the Son's true identities. You know, when Paul said in Philippians, he said, "Oh, that I would know Him." He's not talking about the Father. He's talking about the Son. And which puts Him in a category beyond what we can understand ourselves. He said, "And I would like to know the fellowship of His suffering and the power of His resurrection and be made conformable unto His death." Well, you know, there's something about that. Paul realized that was not Paul. That was not Keith Gunn. That was not you guys. There was something special about this man that could do that. That he could love to the extent that he had let his enemies persecute him without responding to him or anything else. And so God wants us to know His identity and the Son's true identity. And the value of those identities is seen by what the devil or the Antichrist has tried to do to the Godhead over the years. The fact that the devil has done such a work on the Godhead gives us the understanding of how valuable the Godhead is. The Trinity, and then Jesus being His own Father. And that the man Christ Jesus, the man of Nazareth, was actually God Almighty. And so, in John 17:3, God lists the knowledge of Himself and His Christ as being eternal life issues. And because of the Trinity, and today's strange oneness preachings, there are tens of thousands of people who are in a state of confusion, like the dual nature of Christ teachers, and who knows what else, and many who have become spiritually illiterates. Anyway, God bless you. I hate to leave the message on that note, but I think that's a good spot to leave it.
That's very good.